The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Somebody say a big amen. My testimony is that whatever God has not placed in your life, that the enemy has placed there, shall be removed this morning in Jesus' name. Also, this morning was shared where a lady was she could not smell and she could not taste things, and then she was feeling jittery. She went to the internet, and of course the internet gave her so much of what it could be. You know what it could be. And then as she said, they said she should watch herself for a few days. Then it occurred to her, it will soon be the day of service. And she came here on Wednesday, and by Thursday morning, her body was fully restored. Her smell organs were fully restored. Everything in her body that was not functioning well was fully restored. I welcome you to the doctor of doctors. I welcome you to his clinic this morning. If you are clapping, please clap very well. I welcome you to the clinic of the best of the best. And this morning, you will not go back the same. In Jesus' mighty name. We are on our running series on kingdom stewardship for the month of August. It's our impartation and miracle service. And I know this morning God will impart somebody in the name of Jesus. If you are that person, say a big amen. I'll be speaking this morning on correct mentality for rewardable stewardship. Correct mentality for rewardable stewardship. If you can, open your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy 10 verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 10, I will be reading verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord. Someone say, serve the Lord. And to serve the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all thy soul. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. I said, may the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. You can also call it correct mindset, correct mentality, or correct. I'll be using the two words interchangeably, mindset and mentality. Correct mindset / correct mentality for rewardable stewardship. What is a mentality, or what is a mindset? A mindset is your way of thinking, the way you regularly think, your thought pattern, the way you view things is your mindset, the way you look at issues is your mindset. I particularly want to welcome our internet audience and those who are watching us from all over the world this morning. Wherever you are, God will bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say a big amen. Your thought determines your actions. Your actions determines your habits. Your thoughts determines your habits. Then your habits determines the way you will behave, determines your actions. Your actions determines your character, and your character determines your destiny. It starts from the thoughts. Thoughts determines your habits. Then your habits will determine your actions. Your actions will determine your character. And your character will determine your eventual destination, which is called destiny. Your destiny will not be ruptured in Jesus' name. There is no person, or there is no individual, that can be greater than his level of thinking. Your life cannot be better than the way you think. And so your thinking is very, very important. And your thinking brings about your choice. Joshua 24 verse 15. The book of Joshua chapter 24 verse 15. Joshua was speaking there about choice. He says, and it seemed, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord thy God, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the God whom your father served. That is, your thought is a product. Your actions and your choices are products of your thoughts. May you make the right choice today. I say, may you make the right choice today. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Why is correct mindset so important for rewardable stewardship? Why is correct mindset so important before God can reward you? I'll give you a few points here in the first service. And I trust God that God will bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Life, number one, important reason why correct mindset is important for rewardable stewardship is that life in God's kingdom answers to mindset. Life in God's kingdom answers to your mindset. Because God actually focuses on the mind or the heart more than the face. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, particularly when God was trying to choose the replacement for Saul. He said, I've rejected. He said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. Or his height of his stature, because I have refused him. I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance. When you want to look at somebody, you look at the person. The outward appearance is important, but it's not the ultimate. It is that mindset, that thought pattern that is so important to God. So God said, don't look at the height of that person or the handsomeness or the beauty of that person. Look at the person's mindset. Look at the person's mentality. Number two, important fact why your mindset or your mentality is so important in your service to God is that whosoever or whatsoever controls your mind controls your life. And that's why you will see so much adverts outside. So many adverts everywhere. Because devil wants to control the minds of believers. You will see adverts of smoke, of cigarettes everywhere. Pornographic things. People have now seen all sorts of things that are abnormal in those days as normal now. Because anything that can control your mind will control your life. That's why when a person drinks, or when a person is smoking, maybe ganja wiwi or anything that like that, they can sell their father's house or sell their house to buy just a wrap of it. A car that is worth 1 million, they can sell it for 20,000 because they need that thing. Because whatever controls your mind will control your life. Number three, important facts about mindset that will bring reward in your service is that your mindset determines the extent of your stewardship. It is your mindset that will determine how far you will go with God. If your mind is not determined to go far with God, it cannot go far with God, because you will face many challenges in your Christian race. Discouragement, many issues will come your way. So when you have not yet made up your mind, there is no way you will not drop off along the line. But when you have made up your mind, no matter what it costs, I will go all the way with God. I will not drop on the way. I will not be discouraged. Abuse me. Slap me. It doesn't matter. What matters is that I am determined to ensure that my chest touches the tape. I finish well. You will finish well. I say you will finish well. I say you will finish well. So your mindset determines how far you can go. Your mindset determines how far you can go. That's why you see some people drop off easily, because their mind is not made up. But once your mind is made up, then you push through. You push through. You push through. Number four, correct mindset for rewardable stewardship is that your mindset can decorate your stewardship or pollute your stewardship. Like what happened in the case of Gehazi. Gehazi was serving God and serving the servant of God well, but his mind was corrupt. And so money beclouded his mind. We were supposed to be talking of the God of Elijah, the God of Elijah, the God of Elisha, and the God of Gehazi. Because Gehazi was the one following Elisha so closely. But his mindset was corrupted. He said, how can my master, somebody had a big miracle like this, called Naaman. How can he release him like that with all the money he brought? He did not even come out to come and even say hello to him. A big man in the government. Maybe like the number two or number three to the president. Came to see you, did not even come out. He said, please, I'm praying. Tell him to go and wash himself in the pool. He said, what kind of man is this, my man of God? Okay, let me pursue him. And what my man of God refused to take, let me take it. He pursued the guy. And he said, the servant of God said, I should come and collect something. He said, anything you want, we are collect. He collected it, and he collected leprosy with it. Your mindset can decorate you. It can distinguish you. And your mindset can also pollute you. It can also destroy you. Your mindset will not destroy you in Jesus' name. Somebody say a good amen. I have so many of them here who continue in that particular line in the second service. But quickly this morning, examples of wrong mindset. I'll give you three examples of wrong mindset and maybe three or four examples of correct mindset. Then we'll go on to other aspects of the service this morning. Three examples of wrong mindset in stewardship. Number one is, I am working for the pastor or the pastors, or I'm working for the church. That is, I am laboring for the pastors, or I'm laboring for the church, or I'm laboring for my department. No! He said, you will serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. Exodus 23, verse 25. Our service is not to the pastor. Our service is not to the HOD. Our service is not to anybody. Our service is to God. So it's a wrong mindset to be offended and say, but I'm serving that HOD now, or I'm serving that pastor. No. The pastor himself is supposed to be serving. That's why you see some pastors unrewarded, because they are the chairman worldwide. Somebody knots the tie, somebody wears the wristwatch, somebody helps them to do their belts, somebody almost everything. The only thing is for somebody to clean their poo-poo when they go to the toilet. If you are not serving yourself as a pastor, as a leader, reward is always lacking. So it's a wrong mindset to think that you are serving the church or you are serving the pastor. No, your service is directly. That's why he says, if I be your father, he said, where is my honor? That's what the Bible says in Malachi. He said, if I'm your father, Malachi chapter 1. He said, if I'm indeed your father, where is my honor? What's going on? Where is my service? He said, this thing you gave to me, he said, present it to your governors and see if they will accept it. A son honoreth his father, and his servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? If I be your master, where is my fear? Our service is to God, it's not to man. When you see it like that, you have exited wrong mentality. Number two, wrong mentality that affects believers is, I can do it the way it pleases me. No. You cannot serve God the way it pleases you. You can only serve God the way it pleases him. Hello. I want to ask you an example. If I come to your house and there's a particular food I eat, but I don't put much salt in my food, yet you put so much salt in my food and you put so much Maggi in my food, is it mandatory I must eat that food? I can't hear you, please. You cannot serve God the way you wish. You serve God, because if you want to, maybe if you wish to serve God the way you wish, maybe you'll be on your bed now. Yet he says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that we should not forsake the assembly of the brethren. We should always be available. He said, my house shall be the house of prayer. He said, we should not forsake the assembly of the brethren. So you cannot serve God the way you wish. You serve God based on his own terms. If you want to worship God now, you can't want to worship God and then you worship him with gin. Like maybe you used to like gin. Say, I want to worship God, but I want to take gin to make me high. It's not an acceptable service. So your service is not according to you where you feel like. No, it can't be rewardable. If you are working in an organization and they say resumption time is 7:30, you say, the way I was brought up, I don't get up on time. I wake up by 9 and I go to work by 10. Say, do you accept it? They will say, no, it's not acceptable here. If that's the way you want, please exit or we will not reward you for your services. So serving God is not according to your terms or my terms. The scripture tells us how to serve him. And then we must follow through. I'm trying to let you know why some people serve God and then there's no reward. There's not, you find you they will just become, I've spent so years in so church. I've spent so years in so church. So, a person can be in a church for 6 months and be rewarded massively. A person can be there for 10 years without anything. Number three, wrong mindset. Wrong mindset that hinders rewardable worship is, I don't have time to serve God. I don't have time. Everybody has equal time, 24 hours. Time is a resource of equal distribution. Nobody has more time than the other. I don't have more time than you. Neither you have more time than me. Everybody has the same level of time available to them. But what matters is that priority differs. Priority is what brings the difference. I decide to prioritize my time such that I spend quality time with God and in doing his work. Somebody says, I don't have time, I'm busy. So we must create the time. Don't say, I don't have time. You have the time. It's just that you did not put it in heart. He said, if thou layest it not to heart to serve the Lord thy God, then shalt thou serve thy enemies. That's Deuteronomy chapter 28. I believe from verse 48 and all that. And he begins to say, if you don't, you must lay it to heart. You must lay it to heart. Somebody say, lay it to heart. You must lay it to your heart to serve God. I didn't want to complete that scripture because of all the things. But let me read it. Deuteronomy 28 from verse 48. Let me read it. If therefore thou shalt serve the Lord, that thy enemies which the Lord shall send upon thee in hunger, in thirst, and this and that. Somebody say, God forbid. He said, if you don't lay it to heart to serve me, this is what will happen. Then the person begins to struggle. You will not be a struggler in life. He said, the person will be begging from his enemies. He will be asking the enemy, please, I'm moving to come here. Many don't know what is in stewardship, what is in serving God. That's why we run away from him. Say, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. Yet we have time for many things, including endless hours on the internet, including films, including visitation of friends. If your desire is to enter into rewardable stewardship, you must serve according to God's terms, not according to your own terms. Quickly this morning, what are some correct mentality or mindset for rewardable stewardship? What are some of the correct mentality or mindsets for rewardable stewardship? Number one is God first mentality. Somebody say God first. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. God first. Matthew 6 verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added to you. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. God must be first, or it's nothing at all. There is no woman here who prays to be seventh wife or tenth wife. God is not a small boy that we place him in a number 12 position. After we wake up in the morning, we check our WhatsApp, we reply our email messages. After that, we check the CNN to see what is going on there. We brush our teeth, we take our bath, we quickly cook for ourselves and the children. Then we ask, oh, God, God, sorry. Father, thank you. No. It doesn't work like that with God. Or we collect salary. We have spent money, give landlord his own. We give people selling pepper their own. We buy petrol. Then we do all the necessary things. Buy the church card, you know, many things. Oh, God. Yeah, God, take this change. It doesn't work like that with God. God first mentality brings you into reward. God first in everything. God first in every area. God first when you are taking decision. God first. Once you get to the level where God is first in your decision, then you'll be first in life. Then you enter the platform of the first class people. One of my sons here is looking at me right now. Had a first class in electronics and electrical and electronics engineering. He's right here this morning. And if you ask him, if he did not give his studies first class attention, he cannot come out as a first class student. If you don't give God first class attention, there is no way you can enter into the class of the people who are first class citizens in this kingdom. In another kingdom, maybe in devil's kingdom, in another place, it doesn't matter. Anybody can do anything. But in God, you want to be God made, you have to have that mentality of God first. You want him to make you. You want him to change your life. He must not be downplayed. God must not be downplayed. He must not be put as a second fiddle. He must not be like a girlfriend. Or what do you call it now? Eh? Side chick. He must not be like a side chick. Just see, once in a while, let me just have some. He must be the main person. They looked unto him. Their faces were lightened, and they were not ashamed. They looked unto him. Immediately they looked unto him like this. Their life changed. Your life will change. I say your life will change. I say your life will change. And it will change for the better. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Number two, correct mentality or mindset for rewardable stewardship is possess an appointment mentality. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 and verse 7, particularly. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 and verse 7, particularly. And after these things, the Lord appointed. Somebody say appointed. I can't hear your voice. What's going on? Somebody say appointed. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And in the same house remained, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Don't be begging from one place to another. Have the appointment mentality. What is the appointment mentality? It is the mentality of, I am appointed by God for his work. It is a spiritual stewardship mentality, whereby you see your work in God's house as a spiritual appointment. Just see yourself as somebody that God has given an appointment letter. Just like companies give people appointment letter. See yourself as somebody that God gave an appointment letter in that your work. He says, the laborer who is on appointment and who sees his work in God's house as an appointment. He says he is worthy of his hire. God has hired you. He has hired me. And he has appointed us. And you must see that appointment serious. If you are working in a place, you don't take your appointment serious, they terminate your appointment. Yes. You are working in a place, they say there's meeting, board meeting. By 9 o'clock, you come in by 11:30 when they are rounding up. They shut the door against you. So you must have an appointment that God appointed me. And then I'm in prayer department. Our prayer time on Sunday is 6:30. How can I now get there by tonight? And I say I'm on an appointment and I expect reward. No. It doesn't work like that. Every man or woman that we excel in this kingdom must have an appointment mentality. I'm appointed to serve as an usher. I'm appointed to be in the children's church. I'm appointed to be in the choir. Then when you see that, when you take your appointment serious, you have qualified for reward. My prayer for you is that you will not miss out in this appointment package. The conditions of your appointment and the benefit attached to your appointment, you will not miss out of it in Jesus' name. Number three, very important mindset for rewardable stewardship is something that is so important, and it's the mindset that you have been chosen by God. Someone say chosen by God. In John chapter 15 verse 16, John 15 verse 16, the Bible tells us that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And why have I chosen you? I have chosen you to go forth and bring forth fruits, and that your fruit might remain. John 15 verse 16. You have been chosen by God. He specifically chose you. He specifically brought you into his kingdom. You were specifically chosen by God. Your being in God's house or serving God is not a mistake at all. He chose you. He appointed you. And what are some of the things he chose you to do? You can call that 3A. He chose you to praise. 3A. What are the things he chose you to do? He chose you to praise. He chose me to praise him. Now, 3B. What did he choose me to do? He chose me to represent him here. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He said, let your light so shine. That's verse 16. Matthew 5 verse 16. Let your light so shine before all men that they might what? See your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. You are to represent God here. People cannot see God, but they see you. Then they have seen God. Is somebody with me this morning? You are being specifically crafted and chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. My prayer for someone this morning is that God, in his infinite mercy and in his grace, will bless you in a special way in the name of Jesus. Somebody say a big amen. He has chosen you, and he has chosen you to bless you. He has chosen you to change your life. In Psalms 33 verse 12, he says, blessed is the nation who God is the Lord, and the people whom God has chosen. I like that. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. I want to change it. Blessed is that family whose God is the Lord, and whom he had chosen for his own inheritance. In Deuteronomy chapter 14 verse 2, Deuteronomy chapter 14 verse 2, the Bible says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee. You are an holy people. He has chosen thee. Turn to your neighbor and say, he has chosen me. He has chosen me. You must know that you are not a mistake. He chose you specially. You did not come to this church or connect to this service anywhere you are watching from by mistake. He chose you. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 6, the Bible says we are even special. That's why he chose us. We are special. We are special. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee. Special people unto himself. Can you see that? Special. Do you know you are special? When you have this mentality, you just soar in life. So don't say, I don't even know. I don't even know why things are happening for this person like this. And my own is not happening like this. You are a special person. You were specifically chosen. Your own path is different from another person's path. In my place, they say you should not look another person's wristwatch to determine your own life. If you look at your brother's life, say, my brother is this, my brother is already this, then me, I'm not yet like that. You will kill yourself. You will kill yourself because your brother's path is different from your path. You have been specifically chosen. By the time you will emerge, by the time your own glory will come out, everybody will bow. Look at Joseph when he was serving God. Serve God in his father's house. Serve God until they put him inside the pit. From there they sold him into slavery. From there he went to Potiphar's house. From there he went to prison. All those times, people were looking at him like a stupid boy. See this boy that says he's going to be elevated in life. He said we will come and bow to him. Look at him. Look at him as a house boy. Stupid boy. Useless boy. Proud boy. But eventually, did it happen or not? I said, did it happen or not? In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, your own will happen. I say your own will happen. But you must serve this God and serve him till he's forced to reward you. May the Lord give us understanding. So I was saying, examples of what we are chosen to do, we are chosen to praise him. We are chosen to represent him here on earth. You are chosen to intercede, to pray. You are chosen to pray. Father, we decree journey mercies for all those who are traveling. Father, we decree salvation of souls, of men. Jesus, bring men out of perdition. Oh God, send your word in our service. That's how to live a life that is waiting for reward. Not just Jesus. I'm tired of the car you gave me. It's time to give me another car. If you don't give me another car, since there is pandemic, I will not be going out again. I will not even go to church. Oh God. Oh God. If you don't get me another job, because of what is going on now, I might not be able to serve you. No, my salary cannot even transport me for the whole month. No. That's not how to treat God. You go before him interceding. You know, when Job interceded for his friends, his life was better than when he did not intercede for his friends. That's in the last chapter of Job. After Job interceded for his friend, everything he lost, he got them back two times. What you have lost shall be restored. I say, what you have lost shall be restored. I didn't hear your loud amen. What you have lost shall be restored. Say a big amen. Say a big amen. Job 42 verse 10. Job 42 verse 10 particularly. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Listen. Listen to this. Stretch your hands here, everybody. Twice of what you have lost during this period, God will release it back to you in the name of Jesus. Twice of what you lost during this period, God will release it back to you in the name of Jesus. Say a louder amen. This is possible on the platform of stewardship. God is not into just wasting things. Only those who are ready and active can be blessed. You are chosen to represent him here. You are chosen also to work for the growth and development of the church of God. You are chosen to work for the growth, the expansion of the work of God. You are adding value to the work of God. Then he sees you. He says, this is a good servant. This child is due for reward. This family is due for reward. The next set of blessings God will release, your family will be included. Number four, mentality or mindset that will bring you reward is the mindset of an investor, investment mindset. You must know that every business is into investment and profit. God's work or your work in God's service is your investment into God's business. Because God's work is God's business. Just like you have your own various businesses, God's house and the development of God's kingdom is God's business. In Luke chapter 2 verse 49, Jesus said, when they were looking for him about, he said, know ye not that I will be about my Father's business? Why are you looking for me? He said unto them, how is it that you are looking for me? On Sunday morning you are looking for me. I'm surprised. On Wednesday you are looking for me. During night vigil you are looking. How can you be looking for me? You should know that I will be about my Father's business. So God's work is God's business. As you are investing into it, spending your time, spending your money, spending your resources, spending your talent, you are investing into the business of God. And that business will always bring you profit. You must know that in God's work, there is no bankruptcy. God cannot go bankrupt. His business. So as long as you are investing into it continually, you are going into it continually, investing continuously, you must be getting your returns. If you have shares in some multinational company, as long as you don't sell your shares or lose your share certificate or lose your account there, you are still investing into the company, you will continue to get dividends. Hello. As long as you are investing into God's kingdom, not that you invested in 2018, it's 2020. You're not saying, I didn't get anything in 2020. As long as your investment is continuous, you must be getting returns. Returns of good health. Returns of provision. Returns of good mentality and wisdom for your children. Your children will not be dull in school. Because of your investment as a parent in serving God's interest and serving the welfare of his interest. I've never seen anything as profitable and as rewardable like serving God. Nothing as profitable. Because it guarantees everything you want. You will not miss your reward. I say you not miss your reward. I say you not miss your reward. Your labor or your investment might be secret. It might be fasting. It might be prayer. It might be things that people cannot see, like choir or ushers that people can see. Or like the pastor that preaches on Sunday. Though the work of a pastor of preaching is just 20% of the work. The major work, major part of our work is not done on the altar. So if your work is done in secret, he will reward you openly. Matthew chapter 6 verse 6. He that seeth what you are doing in secret will reward you openly. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father. And the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in, somebody say in secret. That is, nobody knows what you are doing. Nobody sees your tithe. Nobody sees your offering. Nobody sees you that you are the one supporting your HOD the most. Nobody sees that you are always alive there. Nobody even says thank you. Say, the God that sees your labor in secret will reward you openly. Your secret labor will bring forth open reward for you. Your secret labor in God's house will bring forth open reward for you. Say a good amen. So investment mentality is key. Because what you are doing, you are not wasting your time. You are not wasting your life. If serving God is a waste of life, honestly speaking, this is the best way for one to waste his life. If serving God is a waste of life, what a good way to waste your life. No investment into God's work, no reward. No enlistment. No enlistment until there is investment. No enlistment until there is investment. No enlistment into reward system until there's investment into the reward, into the kingdom assignment. No reward on the list of those to be rewarded, except you have put in something. Putting in time, putting in energy, putting in resources, putting in your talent, putting in your private resources. And then before you know it, the blessings of God will appear. As God liveth, your blessings will appear. In the name of Jesus. Friends, as I round up in this first service, note the following. There is always a guaranteed returns for God's work. When you put your time, your energy and resources to God's work, there's a guaranteed return. There's a guaranteed return. There's a guaranteed return. Number two thing to note under this issue of investing into God's work is that you cannot make losses investing with God. You can't work for God and then you now lose at the end of the day. It's not possible, sir. It's not possible, ma. That you invested in working for God and say, I lost so in working, in doing something for God. Number three thing to note is that there is an unending dividend for the input into God's work. There is an unending dividend. That is, your returns to in that comes from God's work, it can never end. The blessings that will be coming to you because you are serving God cannot stop. I spoke a little bit about that on Sunday, about generational reward, whereby you are blessed, your children are also blessed, which I believe I took from Psalm 112. You will be so blessed, your children will begin to eat out of it because you have invested from your youthful age. Don't wait until you are 50 or 60 to start investing. Now that you are 16, now that you are 24, now that you are 34, now that you are 40, now that you are 45, this is the best time to invest so that you can have something to draw from as a dividend in your future. My prayer is that nobody here will miss out of his own portion in Jesus' name. Say a big amen. If you are blessed, shout hallelujah. If you are blessed, shout a big hallelujah.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.